from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chris Henry joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Here by Pavement from their debut album, Planet and Enchanted. Everything's ending here. I think that's going to happen in Dallas tonight for the Mavericks.
All right. A couple questions about that. If you had to wager, will Luka ever be back in an NBA Finals? And will these Celtics, or some version of these Celtics, this core, win another championship after this one?
Yeah, that's interesting. Sort of split goals there. I would say it's sub 50% on Luka back in the finals, just because only one team can get there. And if the question was Boston back in the finals, I'd put that above 50%. But winning a title, I'm still gonna. I don't know, man. It's close. I might go barely above 50% there. I think they're pretty well set up. They're bringing everybody back next year. The West is similarly sort of a mishmash. So I think Boston will go into next season the favorite to win the title, and they should have more than one more chance to do it with sort of that core of players.
How much of that is how good they are, and how much of it is the fact that they're in the East?
That's a lot of it. It's a clear path to get there for them. Now, I don't think the path will be as clear. I mean, this Boston team has been great start to finish. I don't want to diminish what they're doing. But they have had, if you go back over time and look at the paths to the title, first round, second round, third round, finals, this is going to be one of the easiest paths anyone's ever had. It's got to be. I mean, I don't even remember who they played. Who did they play in the first round? Whoever. They swept somebody in the first round. And the Indiana Cleveland team, where Donovan Mitchell's banged up.
It was the Heat in five.
Yeah. So you beat like a Heat team that's kind of a mess. You beat a Cavs team where Donovan Mitchell has issues. You get this Pacers team that wasn't good enough to be in a conference finals and somehow balances out there because the Knicks fell apart. You know, the Sixers kind of fell apart. Giannis is hurt. They just had this incredibly easy run through the East, even though they probably would have beaten anyone you threw at them, but they had this easy run. And then you get this Mavs team that, like, was the fifth seed, you know, and sort of, I don't know. I think the best version of Denver probably gives them a better series, but the best version of Denver wasn't there either.
Denver would have given you would have picked the Celtics. You would have picked the Celtics if this Denver team, whatever, with Murray playing but not 100%, you would still pick the Celtics, but you would have expected probably Denver to get a game or two anyway.
Yeah, probably so. If Denver sort of squeaked through but looked like they still had the issues that they had, yeah. And then instead of looking like last year's Denver, where Murray is in better condition, yeah, but I do think Denver would have given Boston a better series.
Knowing that, you know, the offseason will be the offseason, and I presume that Denver will do something to, you know, augment their depth. But would they be the second favorite next year, do you think, just right now, going into next year?
Probably, because I think Jokic is still the best player in the world and their team still makes sense. I mean, you have a question. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is headed to free agency. Are they going to re-sign him? Right. And then on top of that, can they add to their depth? You know, I don't know if Minnesota's set up to be better next season. I don't know if Oklahoma City is, if people are going to feel like that team is ready to break through yet. I just don't think you can trust Embiid. I think the situation in Milwaukee is pretty creaky around Giannis. I mean, unless I'm forgetting someone, you know, we'll see if the Grizzlies can crash the party. But for right now, you know, I think Boston, Denver. When the betting lines come out, if Boston wins tonight and the betting lines come out tomorrow for next year, then I think they're going to have Boston, Denver at the top of the list. Yeah.
And I heard Drew talking about this yesterday on the radio, the imbalance between the two conferences. Is there a macro reason, or is it just a series of different teams that have been well managed and poorly managed, or does it become self-perpetuating? If you're in the West, you know you need to be better in order to advance in the West. I just thinking about this, it sure would have been nice if Wemby had ended up in the East. You know, it's just insanity.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things to that. I don't know if I have like an easy answer to that. I wonder if it's. I mean, there's obviously an imbalance at the top and imbalance top to bottom.
Right.
I think the West has tended to be stronger like throughout. Certainly, I think getting the eighth seed in the West has tended to be harder than getting the eighth seed in the East. But like, you know, you had those Miami Heat teams in the East, and you had, you know, LeBron's Cleveland teams, and some of this has been like where LeBron's at. But like, this Boston team's been great for a long time. Bucks won a title out of the East. Right. I don't know. I just think there's been a lot of injury issues in particular in the East this year with star players.
All right. Turning to the Grizzlies, we were cut off yesterday. We had phone issues. There were a couple things I was going to ask you. One is on this discussion of, and I know you and Drew did this, talked about this on the podcast as well, about whether as the Grizzlies go forward, particularly thinking about what sort of big they want to have, whether personnel should, which comes first, deciding what kind of team you want or seeing who's available. And I guess I would ask this question. Doesn't it make sense? I get it. If you inherit a team with a certain number of players on it and they're under contract, then you build around to some extent over the players. But if you're choosing players, shouldn't you decide what kind of team you want and then go out and get players to fit that rather than let the fact that there's a behemoth avail? Which should come first, or is it obvious to you?
Well, I mean, we're talking about the situation the Grizzlies are specifically in right now, or we're asking a philosophical
even question. Well, I'll take the Grizzlies.
Because they're slightly different. To me, if you're starting from scratch, you start with the best players, and you fit a philosophy around the best players. Grizzlies aren't going out trying to find their best player.
Right.
The best players they have, that's Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson. But to me, if I'm starting a franchise, I don't say this is the kind of basketball we're going to play, and then I turn down, you know, Victor Wembanyama because it's the style.
Right.
And so, you start with getting the best players you can, and then you craft your style around those players, and then you fill in role players who can fit what you're doing. I think the thing. So apply that to the Grizzlies. I think at this point you're looking for role players, and so you want role players to fit. It's not just who's the best player; it's who's the best for us, and that's not necessarily the same thing. But I think where it's less clear for the Grizzlies is that their star players are really adaptable, and this is something I've read about in terms of the center thing. There's sort of three different ways a center can provide spacing. People think of spacing as you shoot 3-pointers, right? That's one way you provide spacing, horizontal spacing. It's also vertical spacing. You can jump up above the rim and catch lobs and hammer down dunks. But there's also, and this is a phrase I invented, but I don't know what other people would describe it, but there's like targeted spacing. That's screen setting. You open up a particular pocket of space at a particular time for your offense to use. Well, Ja Morant can thrive off of all three of those kinds of spacing from a center. And we know that Jaren Jackson can play with different kinds of centers. We know that Desmond Bane can too. And so I don't think your star players dictate a certain kind of role player to go with them. I think they're adaptable to different levels of talent. The question for the Grizzlies is, are they so committed to a particular style of play that will trump a talent imbalance at center? And it's not clear to me that it will.
Well, and then it's sort of a question of, is it committed, or is it, if you have a conviction, as some of the fan base do, that you need a center who can spread the floor by shooting, with his shooting,
right?
For example, that would be a reasonable thing for the Grizzlies to believe, to have a conviction that this is the best way. I'm not saying I know, but it would be a reasonable conviction to have. And then therefore, We just don't want Zach Edey. Or you know, we just would rather have Kyle Filipowski than Zach Edey because he fits stylistically, even if we think Zach Edey is marginally the quote-unquote better player. So shouldn't you decide on which style you're trying to fashion around your stars first? I guess that's the question.
This is a little bit, we're in a little bit of semantic territory here. To me, it's not like we are committed to a style, because I think your style may shift over the course of game, over the course of series. But to me, it is about fit for your team. And this is why I've never been like, you just take the best player in the draft, because I just don't believe it's that simple most of the time. I think it is, does this player work for us? And with Zach Edey, that is a paramount question for any team that considers him, because he's not going to work for everybody. And so, you know, do the Grizzlies think he can work for them? That doesn't mean we will play a certain style that fits Zach Edey 48 minutes of every game, but maybe you play that style for 20 minutes as a changeup, and then you shift to something else. I don't think they're looking for a player who's going to play 35 minutes in a game right now. And so I don't think the player itself has to be absolutely positively a certain style of thing. The question of, do you need a center who can spread the floor? Well, you got one. His name's Jaren Jackson Jr. And so the question is, do you want two to do that, to play them together?
Right.
Or do you want to be able to just, when we want to play that style, that's when we play Jaren at that spot? I don't know the answer. These are good questions, and these are questions the Grizzlies have to ask themselves. I don't know what the answers are to them.
Okay. I want to continue down your list, which we other things have come up, and then you were disconnected yesterday. But you, earlier in the week, wrote a list and targeted a bunch of players who the Grizzlies could be interested in as their center next year, or as a center to acquire next year. We've already gone through Jalen Duren, Jared Allen, Donovan Clingan, Wendell Carter, and Mark Williams. We also talked we've talked about others in passing along the way, but let's continue with the list. Walker Kessler is sixth on the list. Why?
He's a good player. Is he available or not? To me, the question with him is he was a real find as a rookie for Utah. His role regressed a little last season. He started fewer games as a second year than he did in his first year. To me, Utah is a real mystery box with Danny Ainge there. What are they trying to do, and when are they trying to do it? And so are they committed to Walker Kessler as part of their plan for when they're going to be good? Or are they looking further ahead to the degree that it would make sense for them to basically hit the reset button on his roster spot with another rookie contract in year one instead of one that's in year three? So that's just a gauge of, is he available or not? And if he is, I think, you know, the ninth pick for Walker Kessler seems like a fair trade all around, as Utah wanted to sort of look more forward than that. But there's been no reporting or rumors that he's available, but he could be.
Number seven is Bobby Portis.
Yeah, Portis is, Milwaukee is deep into tax territory. Their team just underperformed. There's all kinds of questions about what they're going to try to do. Do they need to cut tax? Do they just want more flexibility to shake up their team a little bit? The thing about Portis is his contract is just small enough to fit in under the trade exception the Grizzlies got in the Steven Adams trade. They could take Bobby Portis without Milwaukee taking back any salary. Now, you'd have to send draft pick or something. You're not just going to get him for free. But you could make his salary go poof for Milwaukee. Does Milwaukee want Bobby Portis' salary to go poof? That is the question. Now, doing so, I think you'd have to sacrifice Luke Kennard just because of your own money situation. But there is a potential there that Bobby Portis is this guy you could just take straight up into your trade exception. So, again, with all these things, it's a question of what does the other team want to do? And no one knows the answer to that. Myself certainly high on the list of people who don't know the answer to that. But it's at least within the realm of conjecture.
And what would Bobby Portis do for you?
He's a good rebounder, and he can stretch the floor. And that is a sort of like Wendell Carter. That's a combination that's hard to find, and that's a combination that's useful for the Grizzlies. Because I think you need a good rebounder playing with Jaren and playing with what is otherwise a pretty small team. I think defensive rebounding is important to this front court spot you're trying to add. And then the floor stretching is something that is valuable. And I don't know whether that is an absolute, we have to have this and we won't bring in someone who doesn't provide that, but it's clearly a valuable thing to have. And plus he's a veteran who's like, you know, won a title. And he's a playoff tested guy. So I think he'd be a pretty good fit. Not a great defensive player, but you got a pretty good defensive infrastructure already.
Some have tried to craft deals. I saw Matt Herdlicka did just the other day to bring Brook Lopez from the Bucks. You're not a fan?
Yeah, I'm more skeptical on that one because I think the level of salary you'd have to send out, any contract of that size, you're having to send out a Luke Kennard or a Marcus Smart. So you're subtracting something meaningful in your bid to win now. For a guy who's going to be, 37 years old, 36 years old, something like that, on a one-year deal. I'm wary of that for the Grizzlies. And then from the Bucks standpoint, what is that? I mean, that doesn't help them financially. Maybe they think shifting their talent from that spot to the backcourt would help them. I don't know. Maybe they think that. Maybe they don't. It's not some harebrained idea. But to me, it doesn't cross the line of something that I could see happening.
Okay. And then number eight is Zach Edey. We've talked a little bit about Zach Edey. One of the bits of news, though, that I wanted to bring up was the initial 12 players that have been invited to attend the NBA draft and sit in the green room. And they are Zachary Risa-Shea, Alexander Sarr, Donovan Klingon, Reed Shepard, Bouzelas, Castle, Dalton Knecht, Dejan Saloon, Ron Holland, Cody Williams, Devin Carter, and Jacoby Walter are the 12. Now, Dillingham evidently hadn't checked all the boxes. He needed to do some more workouts. He's expected to get an invitation. There will be more issued. And then Topic, however one pronounces that, he hasn't gotten an invitation either. He's injured. It's an interesting list for all kinds of reasons, but it does not include Zach Edey.
Yeah, again, those green room invites are likelihood, not law.
Of course.
There's going to be players who don't get invites who go ahead of players who get invites. And there's going to be, it's like a ceremonial thing. The last guy in the green room, it's pick number 23, and so-and-so is still sitting in the green room. So I wouldn't read too much into that, other than that it does suggest a likelihood. It's sort of a consensus likelihood. The draft won't fall exactly according to that. But I think everyone has seen, like, the non-Klingon, non-Sar, I guess, centers. I think people see them more relative to where the Grizzlies are picking as trade-down kind of guys. Like, I'm not saying you don't pick a Zach Edey or Khalil Ware or Filipowski if you really like them at nine. At some point, like, who cares? You take the guy you like.
Right.
But in terms of where people think guys are going to go, it feels like that's more guys you try to trade down for. The thing about Edey is that there have been multiple elements of reporting that suggest the Grizzlies might be interested in Zach yep. Edey, including from our own Drew Hill, who talked to Zach Edey, who said, yeah, the Grizzlies are interested in me. And so you could, from a distance, look at that and say, there's no way the Grizzlies are going to be interested in Zach Edey because of his style, because of this, because of that. You could guess that. But there is, like, actual reporting that suggests that may not be true.
Yeah. In terms of the fallibility of the green room invite as a predictor, we have Ball Ball once was in the green room, and he fell. Nick Claxton, Rashard Lewis, and then Deonta Davis, who you may recall, also once upon a time was in the green room. I also found it interesting in terms of the invites, though, that it did include Devin Carter and Tijan Saloon, who a month ago we weren't particularly talking about, but now everyone seems to be projecting up there. Is that intriguing to you that those two, again, with the fallibility of the green, presumably that means they poll NBA teams and they think, yeah, these guys are likely to go up there?
Yeah, these green room invites are falling behind what movements already happened in some of the more reputable mock drafts. And I think the movement in those mock drafts has been a case of the people doing them either league opinion changing or the mock draft catching up to league opinion. Right? And so, Saloon and Carter had already been moving up these mocks before they got the invite. So it's sort of like the things sort of go together,
You and Drew, speaking of informed mocks or thoughtful mocks, you and Drew, both, and you're in the podcast that you did about players you like, possibilities for the Grizzlies, you each identified Jacoby Walter, and there he is getting an invite. What was it that you and Drew both saw in Jacoby Walter?
I think he seems like a guy who's going to be a good defender at the NBA level and can shoot, and not just a one-dimensional catch-and-shoot guy. But what I saw, he's a guy who's comfortable shooting in different ways, off the dribble, on movement, catch-and-shoot. He's got this long wingspan. I just think the comp he gets all the time is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And like, that's a really good player. I'm not saying he's going to be that, but to me, it's easy to want to watch him play and see that kind of pass for him. And I just think guys like that, every team can use that guy.
Thank you, Chris. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's Chris Harrington.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch left. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.